Good morning. Femi OK and John Hockenberry with you this morning. Just breaking today from our partners in the New York Times, the Justice Department's Ethics Office has recommended reopening almost a dozen prison abuse cases. The recommendation reverses the Bush administration's earlier policy. And today, the Justice Department is expected to release a never-seen-before 2004 CIA Inspector General report that is said to detail harsh interrogation techniques in CIA prisons. So for a look at what kind of ripples that report may cause, we are joined by James Woolsey. From 1993 to 1995, he was the Director of Central Intelligence under President Clinton. Today, he's a venture partner with Vantage Point, where he specialises in clean energy. He's also the Annenberg Fellow at Stanford University's Hoover Institution. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Now, I have to dig into your experience with the CIA. How do you think the CIA got into the situation it is in today?
I don't know. I stepped down as a director nearly 15 years ago in January of 95, and those were simpler times. We didn't have prisoners. We took over just after the collapse of the Soviet Union, and our problems generally were trying to help the U.S. government figure out where and whether it needed to intervene on humanitarian grounds, Rwanda, Somalia, Bosnia, et cetera. So I'm no more really than an informed newspaper reader on these issues, although I do have a high regard for John Helgerson, the CIA Inspector General in 2004. I haven't seen the report, of course, but John worked for me and is a very able man and a very fair-minded individual.
But you wouldn't say that living in complicated post-9/11 times is in any sense a rationale for staging mock executions with power drills and things.
I know what they did, and I'm not going to answer hypotheticals about what they did or didn't do based on reports that I haven't read. You need to have somebody who is more eager to wade into areas he doesn't have the facts on than me in order to get answers to those kinds of questions. I'd been told this interview was about environment and energy issues, which is what I've been working on for the last number of years. You don't want to talk about that at all?
Oh, we do, absolutely, James. There is a connection, though, between yourself and Leon Panetta about being...
Leon is an excellent individual. I've known him for many years since he was a congressman and back into the 80s, and I think he's handling these issues quite well. I think these issues are issues that when they come up, they ought to be dealt with by the director and by the oversight committees of the House and Senate. Those have able staffs. They have members who are versed in intelligence issues, and that seems to me to be the right forum for addressing these questions.
So you and Panetta both came to the CIA as outsiders. Now, how would you recommend that he went forward? Do you try to win over the loyalty of the building?
Leon is not an outsider to government by any means. He had a very distinguished career in the Congress. He was chief of staff at the White House. He ran OMB. He has a lot of governmental experience, and most people who have been directors of Central Intelligence and then in the later structure where you had a director of National Intelligence and a director of the CIA being separate have come from outside the CIA. There's only been a handful of people who have come to those jobs from inside the CIA. Some have come from inside the intelligence community within the military. Leon doesn't need advice from me on how to work with his former colleagues on the Hill and with the administration. He has excellent instincts on those questions.
So, James Woolsey, I'm motivated to ask maybe a more personal question. You know, General Wesley Clark is also involved in green energy as a venture partner with another firm. How do you get from national security matters and global security matters to a focus on green energy? Is that because it's an opportune time to do that, or is it a core interest?
Well, I've been interested in the national security implications of energy since sitting in a gasoline line in October of 1973 in the middle of the Yom Kippur War. I was general counsel of the Senate Armed Services Committee. I was late to run a hearing because the Saudis had cut off our oil because we were trying to keep Israel from being overrun by its neighbors. And I got rather bothered by that situation in 1973, and I've been bothered for over 35 years. I've been working on these issues, both on the environmental and the energy side, since at least the early 80s, writing about them, speaking about them, organizing think tank discussion groups, et cetera, working with the Rocky Mountain Institute, both on oil, which is a combined strategic and climate problem for us, and oil dominates the transportation market. It has a 97% monopoly over transportation.
No, I understand that, but do you security guys have real clout in this debate? We've heard the Al Gore argument about climate change and saving the polar bears and that sort of thing. As a national security argument, is this something that really moves the market?
Other people than me are going to have to decide that. I know what I think is important, which is that we move as rapidly away from oil as we possibly can. Because of its monopoly over transportation, because of its tie to regimes that damage in many ways our national security in the Middle East and elsewhere, because of its contribution to carbon in the environment, because of its pollution. We need to move toward, I think, plug-in hybrids using electricity. We need to move toward biofuels, and we need to move toward fuel efficiency, all three. If you do all three of those, then within 15 or 20 years, I think you could make a very substantial dent in oil's monopoly over transportation. You could break it, and that's what we need to do.
James Woolsey, thank you for being so versatile and flexible. We did dig into some of your experience as being the director of the Central Intelligence Agency under President Clinton from 1993 to 1995. Today, you're the venture partner with Vantage Point, where you specialize in clean energy. Thank you for talking to us about that as well.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. Since then, New York Public Radio's rigorous journalism has gone on to win a Peabody Award and a DuPont Columbia Award, among others. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.